7:42:18 before 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Kim Chatelain is with us, Jefferson Parish Inspector General. Now, Joe Marino is on as well. But, Joe, before we let you talk to Kim, I want to give Kim some uninterrupted time to tell us her side of this, or the Inspector General's side of the project. Good morning, Ms. Chatelain. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you guys.
Okay to call you Kim, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
So tell me what it was about this project that caused you to, or led to your issuing this letter.
It was an evolution, of course, as the transaction evolved in parts and pieces before the council. But what really woke me up was the October 23rd, 2023 council meeting, where they approved two leases for Port Orleans. It was a very different meeting. I attend all the council meetings. And the way the transaction was presented, and most notably, I would say just watching the council members, they just did not seem fully informed about the details of the transaction. It was as if they were receiving the information for the first time at this meeting.
What are the details? Because I'm trying to figure out, it's owned by a nonprofit, Jefferson Facilities Incorporated. Who's behind that? Where does Orleans Brew, what's the name of the company? Orleans what? Brewing?
Port Orleans Brewing.
Yeah. Who's going to own the thing? That's what I'm trying to figure out. And where does the private entity come in? Where does the public entity come in? Where does the nonprofit come in all of this?
Well, that's probably the most fascinating facts of the transaction. So the building is going to be built with parish funds. It will be built on parish property. And at the end of the day, the parish will own it. What the parish is not doing is the parish is not building it. The parish is giving $10.3 million to Jefferson Facilities, Inc., and Jefferson Facilities, Inc. is going to build this brew pub and taco restaurant. And that's probably, that was at the point in time in which I put the pieces together, that the parish leased a building it hadn't yet built to an entity, Port Orleans, in October. And then in December, it turns around and gives $8.6 million to Jefferson Facilities, Inc. to build the building it had leased 2 months earlier.
Okay. Where does Port Orleans have some skin in this game when it comes to running a business?
Well, Port Orleans operates in New Orleans.
No, I understand that, but are they going to lease area?
So Port Orleans is going to come in. They have absolutely no base rent that they will have to pay. They will pay a percentage of their gross revenue, but they're paying it to Jefferson Facilities, Inc., which means Jefferson Parish gets zero return off of this transaction. Sales tax are going to be paid to the state of Louisiana. They're going to be paid to the city of Gretna. But Jefferson Parish is in it for $10.3 million and not getting any return.
All right, let me bring Joe Marino in now, who is on the other side of this. And, Ms. Chatelain, I know you agreed to go on with him, which is very gracious of you. We did not invite you on for that. But with that being said, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the reason I was upset earlier and still continue to be is that she's making suggestions that we've done things that are against laws, without asking me or anybody involved. I mean, did she ask any council member any question before she wrote a 35-page public letter? I mean, you have to know that this letter makes some very big accusations, and the public is going to perceive this as wrongdoing. And why did you go on television the day before you released the letter and do an interview with Fox 8 before you released it to the public? It seems like this is just an attempt by you to stop the project, and that's it.
Well, can I respond to that?
Absolutely. That's why you're here.
So, first of all, I did not go on air before the letter was released. I think there is some confusion about when the letter was released. When I sent this letter out to all of the councilmen, I sent it out as an embargoed copy. That is our standard protocol. I also send out an embargoed copy to the press the day before. That is our standard protocol on all of our reports, and then the report goes live and published on our website at midnight. So the council person, as well as the media, did receive an embargoed copy about noontime the day before the letter went public, and then the letter went public at midnight, and then I was first interviewed and aired the next day. So, yes, the letter was public to everybody. I'd also like to ask Representative Marino what do you think is so bad about the letter? Because I have commented that my biggest concern when I published that letter was that it was too technical and too dry. Because if you read the 35 pages, it really just talks about facts, public facts, bid laws, lease laws, and open meetings laws. And so I'm completely confused as to why the narrative by those who claim to be offended has been amplified in this very negative space. It's really surprised me. I really thought that people would hit the pause button and say, okay, is she raising valid questions? Do we need to revisit these questions? Do we need to relook at this transaction in that light?
Yes, it sounds innocent. But what it is what I'm upset about and what everyone was upset about, that you imply that there's a good bit of wrongdoing without doing an investigation. You have assumptions in your letters which are incorrect that you could have clearly corrected if you had asked any questions. And then you put out a letter with your assumptions and your conclusions, which I call speculations. And that's not the job of the inspector general. That's the speculator general, who's just throwing out accusations without asking anyone questions. And you could have gotten all the answers you needed to clear up what you have wrong in your report. But a year after you were concerned about it, you hadn't done it. And then you released this letter. That is implying to the public that all of these things happened. These are all bad. These are all wrong. And you want us to now stop this project. And that's what I have a problem with.
So the problem is the timing, Joe, is that what you're saying? And Ms. Chatelaine, how would you respond to that?
Well, I guess I'm still trying to understand, because whenever, like Representative Marino speaks or Representative Cox speaks, they keep talking about assumptions and errors and wrong, but they won't say what's wrong. What assumptions are in the letter that you think are wrong? Because it would be easier for me to respond to something specific than to respond to a conclusion.
We're not going to spend a whole hour talking about your letter. I'm talking about the process. I'm talking about, this is not a public letter, is a rarity that comes out of the inspector general's office. There have only been two of them. And it's reckless to use your office to write this kind of public letter. I wouldn't do a 35-page letter on a subject that I never asked a person a question about, and that's your job. And that's what I have a problem with. I can go through the whole project with you when you want me to, and I can walk you through it. It's complex. But I would not release a letter accusing people of wrongdoing without at least giving them the opportunity to respond to it or to explain it to you. That's the problem.
Did you talk to anybody involved in the process, Kim?
No, and again, I find it interesting that really is what people's objection is. Like nobody will identify a single fact in the report that is in error. And as I've stated publicly numerous times, when I approached this, I approached it from the public record, meaning I should be able to put together this transaction. It should line up with the laws based on the public record. I mean, that is quintessential open meetings laws.
Let me ask you both before we run out of time. I think all the public is concerned about, not necessarily the politics of this, but Is it a good thing for the taxpayers, the people that are involved? Is anybody going to profit off of this that shouldn't? Were the state laws followed that should have been violated before, that should have been followed, rather? Or was anything violated? How do you two, what goes forward from here? How do you move this process forward with the idea or the prospect of the groundbreaking happening 2 days from today?
It's not a prospect of a groundbreaking. It is a groundbreaking.
Okay.
The project has been vetted. The project has been voted. The project has been approved. There are no violations of any public meeting laws, public lease laws, or anything else that she's put. I'll tell you one thing right away that you have wrong. You say that we donated, title of your report, donating public funds and property. Absolutely wrong. None donated. No property, no funds. But we can go through your report, and I will with you. But I'm telling you that the way you went about it is accusatory without any fact-finding. It's speculation.
Well, I look forward to visiting with you about the transaction, and I will be reaching out to you, so hopefully we can have a great conversation. But, Tommy,
yeah,
my
biggest concern... I hope we get a public letter saying I was mistaken. I hope we get a public letter from the IG
saying
I was mistaken.
You had a half hour. Let me give Kim the last word. Go ahead, Kim.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead, Kim.
Absolutely. This is not political for me. I think it's sad to the extent that it has become political. What is of paramount concern to me is two things. Number one, you cannot dress it up, dress it down, or change the facts. We're giving $10 million away to a nonprofit to build a public building. That is not how government operates. Government bids out construction jobs. Government bids out for public buildings, and government builds public buildings. There are very few things in government and in law that is black and white, and public bid law is one of them. It is our protections as citizens to ensure that we are getting a good product for a good price from a competent contractor. And if this is built by a nonprofit, then we do not have the transparency we are entitled to as the public. What is equally as alarming is that if Jefferson Parish can give $10.3 million to a nonprofit to build a public building once, then they can do it again.
I think
we can give four. Okay. Thank you
both. I appreciate your time, and I hope you can both come back on again after you two get together, and we'll revisit this. 7:55, traffic now, WWL.